This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Larry Johnson. He's a former CIA officer, and he formerly served as the deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. Larry was one of my guests on 9/11/2001, as we were all adjusting to the news of the horrific terrorist attacks on our nation in New York City, at the Pentagon just outside Washington, and, of course, the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Larry joins me now to talk about the SEAL team that successfully took out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan on Sunday, and also get his analysis of the intelligence that led to that mission and what we can now glean from what we know about this mission about our relationship with Pakistan. And Larry, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, as a member, a longtime member of the CIA, and certainly someone who closely follows the intelligence community, this 15-year mission, really, to take out Osama bin Laden, what's it like to get the news that he's finally gone?
Well, it should have happened much sooner, unfortunately. And as I've said before on your program, it was never made a priority. We've always given lip service to it, but under Bush and even under Obama, they never made it the priority of putting somebody in charge. And even with this latest operation, there still has been the CIA doing its thing, U.S. military doing its thing, and not none of them working in a closely coordinated fashion. The military gets the win on this one, and I'm sort of happy for them. I've been working for the last 16 years with the folks that carried this mission out. So, you know, I've got some, if you will, personal investiture with that, but. The fact of the matter remains that we could have made it a priority. It was never made a priority. And one of the lessons of 9/11 that we still have not learned is that at the end of the day, the best action is when you have all the government agencies and organizations working together, pulling in the same direction.
Larry, from what we're hearing, the first seed that germinated about this lead for bin Laden came from the days of the Bush administration, Guantanamo Bay, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and some others being interrogated down there. That was the first time we heard about a nom de guerre of this courier. It's been in the last couple of years now that the CIA has been able to extract additional information that eventually led to enough actionable intelligence to lead to this mission by the SEAL team. Talk about how those kind of threads come together, how you build from the first scraps of information to something you can actually complete a mission on.
Well, I think that's a story that's being released for public consumption. I think it's nonsense, personally, from what I've seen. The one who really deserves a lot of credit here is General Stan McChrystal. General McChrystal, when he took over JSOC, started a procedure in Iraq, and I'm not going to describe it because it's still, you know, it's part of what makes them effective, but they came up with a way of using what I'll call all-source intelligence, where you get signal intercepts, where you get imagery, video, lifetime, human assets, a whole combination of things, and then when you go out and conduct operations based upon that information and you pick people up, they're immediately put into a screening facility where they are interrogated. Now, none of this interrogation was taking place at Guantanamo. It's been taking place most recently in Afghanistan. And as a result of picking those people up, you get immediate information, and they turn around and go out and conduct operations. They're doing as many as 14 to 16 a day, which, you know, may not sound a lot to your listeners, but when you realize all the moving parts that get put together in a short time frame, it really is remarkable. And out of that, my bet is that that's actually where the information came from. But what's being put out now is a little bit of disinformation. You don't want to tell the bad guys exactly, or what's left of the bad guys, exactly how you got onto them. So I think, you know, it's great to push the story. Oh, yeah, we followed the courier, and the courier gave him up. And, you know, that I've been, I guess, interested in the emphasis they're putting on. They had no internet and no cell phones, so we weren't able to track signals, which, you know, strikes to me as a bit of a too much of a denial that, you know, there may have, in fact, been some element there. But at the end of the day, what you had was there is a procedure on the military side of the house for integrating this information that was really far superior to anything CIA had. And I know that General McChrystal spent years trying to get the agency to cooperate with him, and they steadfastly refused, kept doing their own thing. So I think there's a bit of an irony here that at the end of the day, it looks like, according to what President Obama and others are saying in the media, that this was carried out by elements of Special Operations SEAL team.
Larry, in terms of our relationship with Pakistan, pretty much since day one of post 9/11, and probably even before that, there was considerable concern that Pakistani intelligence services were at least in part not loyal to the mission we were hoping to carry out, and we've certainly seen evidence of that over time.
Right.
Given what we know now about where bin Laden was, how close he was to the capital, the fact that he was kind of hiding in plain sight, what is that, and the fact that we didn't apparently tell them until very late in the mission or even after it was done that we were doing it, what does it tell us about the extent of our relationship with the Pakistanis?
Well, to paraphrase Charles Dickens, they are the best of friends, they are the worst of friends. They've been both at the same time, because Pakistan is deeply divided internally. I guess I've sort of scratched my head watching several in the media expressing shock, surprise, and outrage that the Pakistanis may have known where bin Laden was. I mean, duh. Do they wake up every morning, watch the sun rise in the east, and get amazed by that, too? Well, you know, this, for the last 34 years, the Pakistanis have been playing a game that suits their interests, which is they fear India, they fear Iran, and to that extent, they maintain and promote and encourage terrorist activity on the part of groups that will attack those targets. And they were active supporters of bin Laden and his group, and they've been active protectors of him. That said, there are also elements in Pakistan and the government and military who reject that and have been willing to cooperate with us. It's noteworthy that 4 days ago, the three top-level Pakistani intelligence officials / military guys were indicted in the United States for their role in helping plan and carry out the terrorist attack in 2008 in Mumbai, India. Pakistan has had a long record of this. I've been talking about this since 9/11. And before, let's remember in August of 98 when Bill Clinton authorized military strikes in Afghanistan against terrorist training camps following the bin Laden bombings of our embassies in East Africa and Kenya and Tanzania, that we killed two ISI guys who were training a group called the Harakat-ul-Mujahideen. Ironically, one of those guys we killed was actually a CIA asset. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting dynamic. I think what we're going to see in the immediate aftermath over the next 2 or 3 months is the Pakistanis will now put enormous pressure on the United States to reduce its presence in Pakistan, because we've got the big fish. And they'll say, you've got the big fish, you got the guy you came for. I think, to me, there's an element of that movie, The Road to Perdition, where, you know, the entire movie centers around Tom Hanks trying to get revenge on the son of Paul Newman, who killed Tom Hanks' son. And initially, the Al Capone gang refuses to give him up, but at the end, after Hanks creates enough mayhem and robbery, they finally said, yeah, you can take him out. And I think there was an element of the Pakistanis now just getting tired of bearing all the extra burden that came from protecting the Osama bin Laden, and they finally said, okay, you can take him out, which is what we did.
Larry, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. As always, we appreciate your insight greatly. Thank you.
You're welcome, Greg.
Larry Johnson, former CIA officer, former deputy director of the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.